Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's go before our Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day, the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together to meet with you. Meet now with us. Fill all of us with your Holy Spirit. Grant that we may hear him speak to us, not with audible words, but as he applies the Scripture to our minds, to our hearts. As he applies the Scripture and builds up our faith as he applies the Scripture and reveals to us our sins, that we may become more like Christ, that he would mold and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ and thereby glorify the one who died for us. Achieve this here in our presence and in our midst. We ask this of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Let's hear the word of our God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Westminster Confession of Faith, probably the shortest chapter of the entire confession, page 855. It's on adoption. One little paragraph. One of the weaknesses, if it's a weakness in the Westminster standards, is that they tend to be, particularly the shorter catechism, the confession, very, very teaching, oriented toward the truth. Now, it's not a weakness, but the weakness is what they don't cover, which is a personal application. The larger catechism picks up on that somewhat. But read this carefully. There is pathos, orthopathos, in this paragraph. Let's confess this portion of our faith, at least, that God has revealed to us in his word. All those that are justified, God vouchsafeth in for his only Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God, have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him, as by a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. There is a lot of sound feeling in that paragraph. Our scripture text this morning is the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 66, verses 12 and 13. One short little section. And now you know why we just sang that song and why we're going to sing the next one. Let's hear the inerrant word of our God. For thus says Yahweh, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her sides you shall be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. May God bless the reading of his word. And let's go together before God in prayer. Our Father and our God, again we give you thanks for this Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together. Half of our hour is over. And you have spoken to us, and we have spoken back to you collectively. Continue to speak to us. Grant that we would continue to hear. Grant that our words of prayer and of praise would be received by you as the sacrifice of hearts that are in love with you. And may that love that we have, as pale and weak and fragile as it is, grow, become deeper and purer. May we be well aware of just how vile we are, so that we may be well aware of just how great your love for us is. We pray that you would work in each heart, each mind, each family, and in this congregation in such a way that we together might truly demonstrate that we are the people of God, and that this is a portion of the family of God. And now, Father, teach us from your word, and glorify Christ in our hearts, we pray. Amen. Now, if you look at this passage, it starts off with a four. And as with the New Testament, when you find a therefore or wherefore, find out what it's there for. Well, in this case, if you got a four, it's the same sort of thing. There's a conclusion here. The conclusion comes in the section that we looked at last week about rejoicing with Jerusalem, to be glad in her, to be fed and satisfied with the consolation of her bosom. Look at those words. I can think of infants who wouldn't understand the words, but would understand the meaning, to drink deeply and be delighted. The other night we had the twins over, and I got to, not nurse, got to bottle feed one of the boys. Obviously I can't nurse him. Mouthful of fur, that's about all the kid would get. But he just went to town. And I had to shift him, so I pulled it out, and he immediately let me know that he was not too happy with his grandfather. Give me that bottle back. Why is it that we should have this rejoicing? Why is it that we should feed and satisfy? Well, here's why, God says. For thus saith Yahweh, I will extend peace to her like a river. Those two hymns we just sang both derive from this verse, or at least start off from this verse. Strangely enough, only one of them is referenced when you look at the scripture references to this passage. The other one's from Philippians, I think. But it steals these words for its first line. Remember, first of all, peace. Peace, shalom, means abundant blessings, prosperity, or more accurately, perhaps, covenantal blessings. All the things that Yahweh promised his people, if they are faithful in the covenant, all the promises he promised to them are summed up in this word, shalom, peace. And the Greek word, when you encounter it in the New Testament with grace and peace, that Greek word is the word that translates shalom in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It takes us right back here. Covenantal blessings. All the things that God has for his children be extended to you. Now, the image, though, is to extend that peace like a river. And it's expanded somewhat in the second phrase of the second line, the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. You all have seen probably on the news what's happened in Northern Australia. Northern Australia is the warmer part of Australia. Northern Australia is the area that gets a lot more rain. Northern Australia is being flooded. In fact, I think they saw one description, the floods were like a tsunami in one part of Australia. In Israel, there are rivers called wadis. And all that means is in the rainy season, it's a river, and in the dry season, it's not. Kind of like the Platte, perhaps. But they flood. And we have some of those in the southwestern part of the United States, I understand, where there can be a thunderstorm 20 miles away, and if you put your tent in the riverbed, you may wake up drowning. Or you might not wake up at all. A flood. But not a flood of dirty water that wipes out your life. A flood of the blessings of God. What was that one hymn? 699, I think it is. No, the other one, 691. I saw one of them. There was a phrase. It struck me at the time when we were singing it. 691. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. That second phrase, like sea billows roll, is sort of the flip of what this passage is talking about. It's not, remember, the man who wrote that wrote it when he was in a certain portion of the ocean where his family had drowned as their ship had sunk. I can't imagine his sorrow like the sea billows, as he's there where he knows that a couple of miles beneath him is the wreckage of the ship where his daughters, was it his wife as well? His wife was alive, his daughters went down. How that must have hurt him. And it was in those circumstances that he picks up the words of this verse about when peace like a river, that overwhelming shalom of God. Not just an internal kind of peace, but the blessings of God, all of them, come upon us, overwhelming us with joy, peace, patience, not just the fruits of the Spirit, but the knowledge of our salvation, the love of God, the love for God, the love for others. It just comes over us. And then, brothers and sisters who are not Jewish, that's all of us, isn't it? Look at that second, the first phrase of the second line. The glory of the Gentiles. Now, that phrase is actually picked up in Revelation, referring to the glory of the Gentiles being brought into the New Jerusalem. And I thought about using that passage for our New Testament reading, but I thought that what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians is more important and more pertinent. We'll get there in just a moment. But it does refer to the Gentiles being brought in. Not here as subjugated peoples, but peoples subjugated by the gospel and incorporated into and participating in the blessings. And then Yahweh says to us, our covenant God, remember that, that word Yahweh means the covenant God, the God who makes and keeps his promises, says to us, and then you shall feed or nurse. Or perhaps a more literal reading is, then you shall suck. As you nurse, and on her side she'll be carried. And I can't read that without thinking of Janet. I don't know how many photos I have of Janet holding a baby on her hip. I don't have hips. I can't do that very well. It keeps sliding down. But she carries the baby on her hip, and mothers do that worldwide. That's exactly the phrase, a child being carried by his mother. And the next line, not only feeding from his mother or nursing from his mother, but being carried by his mother and the mother sitting down and putting the baby on her knee and playing with him or her, talking with them, bouncing them, smiling and laughing. You know, there's what could be more precious than that? But the mother, you see, is identified in the next verse. First, he goes on a little bit. But notice that first word in our English Bibles in verse 13. It's a very important word. As. There's a comparison here. as a mother, as one whom his mother comforts, so I'll comfort you. By the way, now it changes a little bit because the implication in the, I think it says ish in Hebrew, if I remember correctly. The one is a man, a grown man. There are a number of Old Testament characters who are comforted with the loss of their mother by their wife, but they also bring their wives to their mothers. Joy. Not just as babies, but even as grown men, mothers can be comforting to us. As one who has a child or even as an adult is comforted by his mother, so I comfort you. In other words, God describes himself as mom. Now, I thought God was a father. Yeah, he is. And the masculine pronoun is used for God. But he also describes himself in this way. The point is, seems to be that maleness does not exhaust the revelation of God. Maybe that's why Genesis 1 says, male and female, he created them in his image. He describes himself as a mother, that tender care. Remember in Deuteronomy 1, he describes himself as a father who picks up his little one and carries him. And here the description is as a mother. This is the kind of love. Jesus does the same thing. As a mother hen would gather his chicks, so I would gather you. This is his love for us. He will comfort us, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem refers to the church, as we dealt with that last week. But the church doesn't have the ability to comfort in and of herself. Her ability to comfort comes from her Lord. It's often been said about the Church of Jesus Christ that it's the only army that shoots its own wounded. And I've seen some of that. I've experienced some of that. And whenever that happens, that is a church that is sick, twisted, bent, and falling far short of what she's supposed to be. Fact is, churches are like that. Every church is a mixture of error and of sin. What the church is supposed to be is our mother in another description. God's our mother and the church is our mother. And we are the church. The church comforts us. I've experienced that. I was thinking earlier of two times when the elders of this church have comforted me. Once with a personal pain. They met me at the door, prayed with me. I remember Bob putting his arm around me. I'm not a touchy-feely guy with other guys, but I needed the comfort of my brother. And the other time was the day after that useless piece of surgery I had with that 9-inch scar to find out that I couldn't find anything wrong. That was fun. And after church on Sunday afternoon, there are the elders surrounding my bed. And I blamed the drugs. I couldn't do anything but cry, but someone prayed. I don't remember who prayed. Was it you, Mark? I don't remember. But my brothers were there to comfort me. That's the comfort that they share is the comfort that Christ gives us. Look again then at 2 Corinthians, brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our English Bibles, at least this translation, alternates between comfort and consolation. There's at least one time when I know for sure that consolation should be translated comfort, and perhaps in all of them. But hear these words again. That we see comfort there in Isaiah 66:13, and implicitly in Isaiah 66:10, 13. What reference am I in? Yeah, 12 and 13. But hear these words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercy, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Now, not comfort in the sense of my man chair. Last night I couldn't sleep, so I laid down in my nice chair and leaned it back and put my Philadelphia Eagles blanket on, and somehow I woke up sitting up. I don't know what happened there, but it's a nice comfortable chair. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about a wonderful pillow. It's talking about the comfort like Bob Nilsson gave me. It's talking about the kind of comfort that Alan Stairs gave us back in Chattanooga. It's the kind of comfort when someone stands beside you, shares your burden. And even more, because those are human beings, and the only comfort they can share is the comfort that comes from the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all, notices, in all our tribulation. Perhaps in one sense, no perhaps about it, when verses 12 and 13 are addressed to the remnant of Israel, Israel is apostate. Persecutions are coming upon the true church by the rest of the nation. And judgment is coming upon the whole nation because of the apostasy of the nation. And in that midst, in the midst of trials and tribulations and sufferings, God says, I will drown you with my blessings. In the midst of our tribulations, the God of all comfort comforts us. Notice the next line, though, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. If I get to comfort you, I only get to comfort you by sharing the comfort that the God of all comfort gives to me. And that's how the church is a mother. She mothers because God is her mother. She fathers because God is her father. It's who He is in and through us that allows us to minister in His name to one another. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also abounds through Christ. And if we are afflicted, it is for your, I'm going to author the word, your comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that you are partakers of, as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you will be partakers of the comfort. The God who is present with us. Brothers and sisters, when you are sick or in pain, when you have conflict in your homes, when you lose your job, when you cut yourself shaving, you know, big things, small things, the God who takes notice of the number of hairs on your head, and it does not escape Him when a little birdie falls out of its nest, this doesn't take Him by surprise either. The trials are there, and elsewhere in the Scriptures we're told why and what can come from them. But in the midst of the trials can be the comfort from the God of all comforts. In fact, in the midst of that can be all His comfort, all His covenantal blessings extended like a river, deep and wide and growing. He pours out His love upon us. For He loves us. And again, like a mother who feed her child and carry her child and play with her child, in the same way for us. Our Father, we thank You that Your Word makes clear to us that we are Your treasured ones. We who are vile, filthy sinners who hated You and were rebellious against You, You've made us Your little ones, Your treasured ones. And You will not, as the hymn says, You will not forsake us. You will not desert us. We are Your treasure. And You will extend to us Your peace, Your blessings, like a river. We give You thanks for that. In Christ's name, amen.